Join me in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 10. Before I read, just to let you know, next week we will be headed to the first book of Samuel as we move over into some Old Testament teaching and make our way through 1 Samuel. Here in Paul's writings to the church in Philippi, we will close out today our study of the book of Philippians. I am not going to read verses 14 and to close out the chapter. Paul is thanking for the care from several people, most especially the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ who has been with him. But today, an aspect of the Christian life that I would like to bring to you that is challenging, to say the least. But in that challenge, I direct you to the title of the sermon, which is verse 13 of our text, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Content. Contentment. In our busy, challenging, distracting lives, to find a place of contentment can be rather challenging. Hear the Lord's words as I bring you a passage here from Philippians, but then also moving to the book of John to bring you a portion of John chapter 14. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, if you will, join me in John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 15, you see it also on the projection there in front of you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Please move down to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to in your remembrance all that I have said to you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy, inspired, inerrant word. Now back to chapter 4. In last week's sermon, I made it quite clear and pointed that it was a practical sermon. That in the holy text we have everything we need for all things in faith and practice. And last week's sermon was more of an application that we should practice these things. Paul even encouraged us in verse 9 to practice all that had been taught. And so it was a very do-oriented sermon. And the do that we were involved in was to move us to a place of peace. Paul says in verse 9, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so as I said last week, it was a very do-oriented sermon. Well, this week I want to pull back from that just a bit and point out that yes, we are to be about doing things, and this idea of God's peace being with us in the practice of doing will take us to a place of contentment. Because if peace transcends and the God of peace is with you, and that you find yourself in that place of peacefulness, then contentment cannot be long far behind. But to leave us in a place where we think that it's just something we have to do and we will be there would not be wise. There have been many Christians down through the ages who have practiced their faith, who have been very diligent in their performance, but never, ever reached that place of contentment. They were plagued. They were overwhelmed. And even as Paul says, do not be anxious, but these were anxious because they felt like the worship that they brought for God, before God, was a performance-based issue. You know my thoughts of Martin Luther, a hero I would identify in the faith, and he was one who was highly troubled in the performance of his faith until he learned the grace of God that is given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he began to move to a place of being content. Paul here himself was a performance-based man. As he was raised in the home and taught, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the one who had the most to boast about because he had excelled in his performance. But yet I dare say there was no contentment about his life until he came in contact with Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to take you today. In this brief message, as we prepare for this table, Paul says in verse 11 of our reading, not that I am speaking of being in need. Remember, he's sitting in prison. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know what it means to brought low. I know what it means to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. Paul had made it to that place where his capacity of thinking, his capacity of peacefulness in his life was not circumstantial. It was a state of being. And that is truly the place we desire to gain contentment. It is a state of mind. It is a state of being. It's not something we do as much as it is something we become. A couple of Sundays ago, David covered my class for me and taught on the characteristic of contentment. And there the author, Sinclair Ferguson, made it very clear. It's not a do. It's not a performance. It's an achievement after life's experiences. This is where Paul is. Through his life experiences, he has found that place of contentment. So, okay, all I have to do is do a few things here, and then through my life experience a few things, and then there will be this somewhat magically idea formed in my mind, and peacefulness will transcend, and I will be content in whatever circumstance I might find myself. No. That's why I included the John passage. That's why I included Jesus' words to his disciple promising the Holy Spirit. Because you see, contentment is not a humanly achievable thing. Peace, as I said last week, the peace of God is not a humanly achievable thing. We are to do things. We are to experience life. We are to live our life in obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So there is an idea of performance. But above and beyond all things, it is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that leads us, draws us, teaches us, moves us to the place of contentment. Jesus says that the Father will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the question for us here, first of all, is in the performance idea. Are we obedient? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are we obedient? And please remember, our salvation is not gained through this obedience. Our salvation is gained through faith alone, through Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. It is a gift. But yet the outpouring of that salvation is seen in our following the commandments, meaning we love the Christ. And this presence of the Spirit of truth, leads us, teaches us, moves us to that place of contentment. And these words, the world cannot receive. How much the world spends in both time and money in seeking after that place of utopia, that place of peace. Just that one more thing, and that will be the answer to take me to the place that I've been desiring. How much money is spent in pleasure, saying, I just want to achieve through this idea of pleasure and intellectually, we are being taught that an immorality, now they won't come out and say it directly, but its undertones are there, that immorality is something that we can gain, that we can live through medical advances, through technology, we can ascend. Through science, we can ascend to the greater. And at that greater, we will finally discover who we are fully and completely, and we will find that place of being. And along with that is a peacefulness and contentment, I would think. But Jesus says here very clearly, the world cannot receive these things. The world will be at tarry for the remainder of its existence in searching for a place of peace. Great expense will be given. Searching for peace they cannot have unless it's in the form and the name and the glory of Jesus Christ, whom Jesus said must go away, so that the Holy Spirit could come. Are you one who believes in the work and the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, some of you, many of you know I have a Pentecostal background, and when Tim goes to talking about the Holy Spirit, they're afraid he's going to get weird on us. I could. I've seen some stuff. But I think we in the Reformed Church, with a fear of that weird stuff, we stay away from and don't speak much about the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need not. We should be ones who excel in the work and the power and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ had to come and give his life, but he could not stay. He had to go, because he was not the helper. He was the provider of salvation, but he was not the helper. The helper had to come. The Holy Spirit had to come. You must have the Holy Spirit in your life daily, acknowledging his work, following his teaching, being under the discipline of his work, to excel, to move into that place of peace, and to move into that place of contentment. It's not a do. It's a following of the commandments. It's a dependence upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We need an utter dependence upon the work of the Holy Spirit. I would pray daily for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That we, through obedience, follow the commands, and that the Holy Spirit would take us to that place where I, like Paul, could say, whether I have or whether I don't, whether I am through the trials or the pleasures of life, whether I am confronted and given plenty or am one who does without, no matter. Because contentment is a state of mind, a state of being that's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the circumstances can come and go. And the peacefulness remains. I pray that you are there. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray, O Father, that you would send the Holy Spirit among us in great ways. We are praying for revival here. Revival is the work of the Holy Spirit. Teach us this day. Move us to a place of peacefulness. The circumstances can come and go, but I and my Lord remain firm. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen and amen.